5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 92, where composer Ben Foster and Nick Foster talk about their original score for the animated television series Thunderbirds Are Go! Series 2. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net.
Thunderbirds Are Go!
Ben Foster is a 4 times BAFTA-nominated composer with extensive credits in major productions across a variety of genres. He's composed over 200 episodes of scripted television, and he's worked with David Arnold on Amazon and BBC One's hugely acclaimed Good Omens, providing additional music for the series, and he arranged the songs for Elton John for Dexter Fletcher's film Rocketman. As an arranger and conductor, he has worked with composers such as John Williams, Johann Johansson, Will Gregory, Mika Levi, and Mark Streitenfeld. He also arranged and conducted the music for 110 episodes of Doctor Who. Nick Foster is a multiple BAFTA-winning composer, arranger, and producer of music for television, commercials, and films. Working both solo and in collaboration from Air Studios London, Nick has made his name composing scores for television shows in the UK and the US, including Time Wasters, Bounty Hunters, the Darren Brown specials, including the recent Netflix special Sacrifice and The Push, The A-List, Cuckoo, and the Emmy-winning Hank Zipzer for the BBC. Ben and Nick Foster have collaborated on the original music for 78 episodes of the animated series Thunderbirds Are Go for ITV, for which they have been nominated for BAFTA, Music and Sound, and British Academy Awards. Thunderbirds Are Go is a British animated science fiction television program produced by ITV Studios and Buceco Pictures. It is a remake of the Super Marionation series Thunderbirds, created by Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, that follows the exploits of the International Rescue, a life-saving organization equipped with technologically advanced land, sea, air, and space rescue crafts. These are headed by a fleet of 5 vehicles named the Thunderbirds that are launched from IR's secret island base in the Pacific Ocean. The main characters are the 5 Tracy brothers who pilot the Thunderbird machines. Thunderbirds Are Go premiered on April 4th, 2015, and is currently in its 3rd series. In this episode, the brothers Foster open up their original score for Series 2 of Thunderbirds Are Go. They discuss their unique treatment of Barry Gray's original theme as a part of their audition for the project. Not only do they reveal how they incorporated some of Barry Gray's original instrumentation and style, but also how and when they departed from it. Lastly, the two share how they specifically chose to utilize a large symphonic orchestra for this score, with the idea of exposing young children to such music and hopefully introducing the idea of being involved with music in some way.
This is our 3rd album of Thunderbirds music, and this one is a double album of the complete soundtrack for Season 2.
So off we go. This is Up From The Dats, Part 1. This is the first thing we recorded for Season 2, our 27th episode that we wrote.
And I guess probably the 16th, 17th time we visited the orchestra in Prague to record for this show. And as ever, a wonderful experience and a fantastic orchestra. I think about 60-something, 67 piece for this episode.
Something like that, yeah. And one of the big things I think we wanted to do here was to introduce a new supervillain. So there's a lot of new thematic stuff going on.
Yeah, it begins fairly interestingly with just this underwater mystery. Very much one of the things we really enjoyed about this show is that you always have these brilliant little prologues before the main titles. Very much a classic TV device and a real opportunity just to get the viewer involved and intrigue and set up some mystery, and that's what this was. And we discover underneath the depths of the sea this spacecraft, and we're not really sure what it could be, but gradually they move closer and it's uncovered, and it has some writing on the wing, and the writing is TV21,
which was the ship of Jeff Tracy, the missing father of our heroes.
So to the viewers who know the show, this is a big moment. This is something that's really exciting. Is this connected to Jeff Tracy's disappearance?
Exactly. So it's setting up beautifully. And here we go into the titles. These are always really great to do.
Yeah, this is exactly this. This show is perfect for this. Prologue, build, tension, titles.
Thank you. Five.
And the familiar titles, Barry Gray's wonderful titles, music that was used in the original series, updated by us. Actually, it's part of the pitch to win this job, which the call went out, update the theme tune to Thunderbirds, and then we'll talk. If we like it, let's just see where we can go with it.
And we answered that call. And we stuck it in a minor key, and we had a great time recording it there.
I think that was the main thing. One of the main things that helped our pitch was that we put it in a minor key. As such, it feels like it's part of the kind of film music genre in that key. It's serious. It's... yeah, straight down the line drama.
Thunderbirds are go.
Still feels exciting to listen to. I'm really proud
of it. Yeah. We used it 78 times, so you know.
Didn't get old.
Now, this is Surveyor Located.
Unlike us.
Well, that's inevitable. A lot of exposition in this queue because this is reintroducing all the characters and the backstory after a gap of sort of a year or something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So we jump around quite a lot. A lot of the queues that we've written for the show do need to sort of leap about a bit.
Yeah, and although although we reuse the themes, we're always re-recording the music for every episode because of the nature of an animation, everything needs to be frame accurate.
And a lot of exposition. I mean, I think in this one, this was setting up all the themes and reminding the viewers of what had gone on in the last series.
I hope that's what makes it an interesting listen, because it's animated, if you excuse the pun. The music is always twisting and turning, so it takes you on an interesting journey. It feels like there's a story to be told even without the visuals, and it doesn't remain static for long. And this show is cut, it's 22, 23 minutes. Here's the big reveal. I love this bit. Very much a kind of Korn Gold score, this type of sound, with these big sweeping melodies.
This whole thing could just be us going, oh, I love this bit, this is nice.
Well, will get tiresome, but I think it's fair to say that that's one of my favourite bits. Ah, now there's...
This is the Hood, so this is our supervillain from season one, well, from the entire show.
So this is the great thing about this, you do have to chop and change all the time, you're constantly moving, but you have these hopefully brilliantly efficient... the motifs that you can bring in. So as soon as they start talking about the Hood, we can slip into that music seamlessly. As soon as they start to launch the rocket, we can go to our rocket launch theme. And that's what made this episode exciting, because it was the chance to bring in a new character theme. The new character for season two was called The Mechanic. So here is the next track, Ray Meckers.
Also, it reminds me of the name of a man who runs a local garage. He's good at his job.
Is he? That'll be £350 for your brakes, Nick.
Oh, no, it's all right, Mr. Meckers. I've written you a theme. Will you accept that in lieu of payment?
No, Nick. £350 or £300 for cash.
OK, I'll go for cash. So this is The Mechanic launching his craft upon the Thunderbirds, and we're introducing our various components of our Mechanic theme, which was a lovely thing to add at this point and which saw us through the next 26 episodes.
Yeah, I think handsomely. it's like any character theme. You think of the James Bond theme, there are lots of elements within that that you could hear and they would represent Bond. So there's a riff, I could go on, and then there's a melody, dum dum dum. So all those bits you can bring into other cues, which is, I mean, essentially it makes the job of composing a lot more...
A double.
More just efficient, I think, economic, and as such, useful to the audience, because they can relate and they can remember these themes. And
that was great in the show. I think every character has a theme, every sort of different situations that recur have a theme, and yeah, as you say, it's very
the joy of just arranging them from a musical perspective. It's like, you know, arranging these themes into different scenarios, different tones, different keys, different moods, and different tempi.
Sort of slightly misremembering them at times and developing them that way.
Yeah.
One or other of the piano would sort of play it slightly differently, and it would just feel different, and then they seem to grow from that, which is lovely.
Very shrill piccolo there, and muted trumpets just to kind of give a forceful cutting sound through what is essentially quite a busy sound picture at this moment.
It's a very loud show in terms of sound effects, and I think we were very lucky we worked with Nigel Heath, who did the sound for this.
At Hackenbacker in London.
Yeah, and he gave us space to to talk through it and to make our noise where it's necessary. But I think we did use big brush sounds quite a lot. The brass as well does that.
And likewise, we tried not to kind of get in the way of what we imagined the sound would be doing. And this is an exception here. There's very much big mechanical sound here.
And this, I want you to explain.
Oh, that's the FAB signature.
Yes.
So, FAB, those three notes, we decided really early on, we just kind of figured out that wouldn't that be great if we could go FAB, F sharp, AB, and that's the call sign of the Thunderbirds.
FAB, which
essentially means A-OK.
And again, it was hugely useful in hitting moments where something heroic and particularly Thunderbirds was happening.
And you could do
a rescue or a moment
they in all different kinds of moods. Another example.
And we recorded a load of them.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Yeah, they were really good. Early on, we recorded a load of interstitials that we could use, little punches of
FAB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're building. Well, Tom Rees Roberts, our fantastic lead trumpet player here, playing that high, exciting trumpet sound that only in the hands of a specialist like him. He's a lead trumpet player. He's based in London. He would record his parts in his studio or in our studio here at Air. And he's, to me, you know, he's just a huge part of the success of this scope of this soundtrack, because like other performers, one thinks of Derek Watkins' mark he made on the Bond films all the way through his life from the very beginning. Just that incredibly heroic, top, huge, high brass trumpet line, just like the icing on the cake.
He always manages to sit just the right side taste-wise, because it's a really fine line. Somehow we were always able to take this solo performance from him and sit him in with 70 other players and make it feel like it was one voice, really.
But it's playing that trumpet so high and so, it's so precariously exciting, and that's what in the right hand, someone like Derek or with Tom, that they make it sound so daring and so exciting. And that really translates into the actions of the character.
Now, while we've been talking,
another cue, which is the International Rescue versus the Mechanic,
which starts off with some more of our hood motif.
I know that's interesting. The use of those crotales, those pingy cymbals, tiny little cymbals. You play them with little brass mallets or nylon mallets. But there was always a sound that was from the original, and Barry Gray used to use it to signify the hood. It was a bit of a shorthand in the 1960s. It was used to represent anything that was ethnic,
Eastern,
specifically Egyptian. It was used. I mean, because actually that's the origin of those symbols. But we love it as a sound, and so we kind of included it in there.
It is a bit of a throwback to Barry Gray, and I think it's probably worth mentioning that generally this season we did start to move away from the Barry Gray thing. I think for our first of the 7 or 8 episodes, we were quite conscious of his hand, his breath on our neck. Not literally.
I think the danger was to as fans of the original show and fans of the original music, was to literally just to enjoy aping and trying out some of that stuff, because we've always loved it. But that's a dangerous position to be in. So I think gradually, after maybe 6, 7, or 8 episodes, it started to become something that was definitely something that we were creating for the show, rather than, you know. But I think that was the same visually. I think it was the same narratively.
Season one was about the hood, and here they introduced their own villain, and it becomes
step away from the shadow of and, you know, hard to do. But I think it's very much become its own show, even though it is entirely related to the original show. But aesthetically, it's totally different.
Pace-wise, it's different, and I think the emotional depth of it is different.
Yeah, the emotional depth is different, but narratively, the narrative structure and the relationship structure is broadly the same, and that's what the show was. You know, you take out the... Everyone remember, it was about puppets. It wasn't about puppets. It was about a family, a disparate family unit that worked in a very unique way. The target audience for Thunderbirds Are Go is kids of the age of 5 to 10, and I think we took that we're always aware of that and took that very seriously, and the opportunity to bring a live orchestral score to kids, the first thing they hear on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to be able to give them 70 people playing music, orchestral music, I just think so important. I think it really, hopefully, will turn some kids onto the idea of being part of that, being part of an ensemble, being part of an orchestra at school, being a solo musician, or, you know, any involvement in music.
Well, just having an appreciation and love of music and understanding what it means and what the difference is.
This is the reason we're doing what we're doing now, because when we were kids, we heard these brilliant scores on TV.
Here comes the launch.
The fastest lick we ever played it, I think.
And they played it brilliantly, didn't they? There's Thomas Roberts playing octave above the usual range.
Anybody else?
Absolutely anything. Any human can hear, but we heard it, and that's good. This is really ramping up now. This one, which is called The Jeff Tracy Fix, as it goes, didn't it?
My favourite bit now, Be Silent.
Let's let it dig in.
Yeah, it's lovely. And those horns, really great, amazing French horns.
Talk about this.
Oh, yes, the way they play phrases like this, they play sol G, which means they play have to play with lots of vibrato
now.
And they play that like they've played it 20 times.
It feels like Dvorak to me or something like that. It's so sincere, and when you write something and it gets given back to you like this.
Yeah, and there's no
you conducting in fairness, Ben, but
there's no mystery that we probably play this stuff twice, maybe three times if we're lucky. Coming to the end of this first episode now, and this is the mechanics theme. I am the mechanic.
This was the first time we recorded voices for this show, I think.
Yeah, we did it just the three of us, me and Sam and Nick. Sam Thompson, our brilliant music assistant on this show, and also additional orchestrator and all-round good guy. And we recorded this in the stairwell at 6 a.m. Just before everybody got in, on a constant loop, and just sang it again and again and again. And how many passes?
I think it's about 80 passes or something. The cleaner came in somewhere about plus 42, so you can hear, which is nice.
But this was season two. We didn't have a choir. We did, by the end of season three, we recorded the Crouch End Festival Chorus, our friends from North London. But these Latin lyrics, Nick,
these Latin lyrics, which we wrote in conjunction with our brilliant dad, translate as something like savage enemy with machines. Sums it up for us.
It really is a terrible rotter. Not our dad, the mechanic.
The mechanic. Dad is
very nice.
And here we see him at his worst. We see the huge threat he's posing across the next 26 episodes.
What, our dad?
No, the mechanic.
That's it.
Here he goes, the final lyric. Machinist, machinist. Machines, machines.
And we go straight into the D minor version of the Thunderbird theme. We had a major version, and a minor version we used to just play around with. It was a good upbeat ending. We'd use the major version, which is nice.
It finishes on
everyone
a joke.
Smiling. Kids can go off happy. If it's a dramatic ending or a cliffhanger, we'd use the D minor version, just so
the kids can go off crying.
No, not crying, though, just a little bit kind of concerned. Maybe not scared.
No, we wouldn't want that.
No. This has been
our Annotator podcast. I think you'll agree, the best Annotator podcast in recent memory. Thank you for listening. I'm Nick Foster. And he's Ben Foster.
That's right.
See you next time on the Annotator.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composers Ben Foster and Nick Foster and their original score for the animated TV series Thunderbirds Are Go Series 2. The soundtrack was released on August 30th, 2019 by Silver Screen Records and can be purchased on Amazon.com, iTunes, or streamed on Apple Music. You can find out more and hear more music by Ben Foster at Cool Music Limited and Nick Foster at his official site, NickFosterMusic.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Ben Foster Music and at Nick Foster Music. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe wherever quality podcasts are found. And wherever you do listen, we'd love for you to leave a rating or a review. And if you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, please tell them about the show. And lastly, you can follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator, on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator, or send us your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.